During the last recession a few years ago, one commentator on television began his newscast, and he said, due to the current financial crisis, the light at the end of the tunnel will be turned off. And it may feel like that for some of us from time to time, like the world's turned the lights off on us. We as Christians, though, you know, we as Christians have this unique task in this world of going and turning the lights back on, little by little, whatever in whatever way we can, letting the light shine in the darkness. In this season of Epiphany, we remember that in Jesus, the light of the world came and stepped down into the darkness, and he came to bring this light into the world, and we too are called into this way that he set before us, to be light, to do good in this world as a sign of Christ's presence, the light of Christ here on earth. This week we're continuing exploring this idea through Paul's words in his letter to the Galatians. We're reading from Galatians chapter 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians in our scripture. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul knows who the people of God are supposed to be, how we're supposed to live in the world. Like Jesus, Paul is pressing the people of God to do and to be the good people in the world that he knows the church can be and should be. For the sake of the gospel, to make known the love of Christ, the church, the people of God are called into the world to represent God's care, God's love for the world. And so Paul encourages the Galatians here, let us not grow weary of doing good. He says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. This was a push of encouragement from Paul to the people. But if we look closely, they're really commands for us. Three instructions, commands all reiterating this point. Let us not become weary. Do not give up. Do good to all people. They're really not really options here for us. They're commands for God's people. This is a letter to the Galatians that was intended to be read out loud for them in worship. And it was to be read for those who were gathered and likely weary, trying to be the church. This is not a foreign struggle here. It seems these ancient words could apply just as well now for us. We can become weary in doing good. John Piper talked about this in a sermon of his, and he said that probably the worst enemy of enthusiasm is time. And he said human beings have a remarkable and sad capacity for getting tired of wonderful things. Your first day of your vacation on the coast, the sunset was breathtaking, and it made you so happy you could sing. By the end of your stay there, you hardly noticed it anymore. And vacationers, he said, get tired of sunset. Kids get tired of toys. Christians can get tired of doing good. At first, there was joy and excitement, but now we've grown weary. The inner power and joy have seeped away. It's a chore. We've lost heart. We can become weary of really good things. And so we have this letter here. This is God's word to those who may find themselves tired and weary. The vast majority of the book of Galatians, if you read through it, it's Paul passionately and sometimes angrily defending himself, but more than that, he's writing in defense of the Spirit of God. There were others who were pushing this idea that you had to live by the law. And over in the letter, Paul is trying to say, no, you live by the Spirit. You're guided by the Spirit, and then the rest comes. And you see this in Galatians when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You remember in Galatians chapter 5, there's all these things that we should do, like love and have patience and show kindness, things we can struggle with sometimes. But even here with this, it's not a matter of the law. It's not about doing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the results of our own work, but it's the Spirit's within us. You sow in the Spirit, Paul says in our scripture, and there's going to be a harvest. The fruit of the Spirit-filled life is that there will be love and joy, patience, kindness, and goodness. The majority of Galatians is this important stuff on our need for the Spirit of God. And then it seems to shift here toward the end in our scripture today to encourage the people of God to keep doing good. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do good to all people. It's a hugely important message for the church. Though I think really it's not as much of a shift in Paul's message as it seems at first, but rather I think it's still connected, the same Spirit message. It's Paul saying this is how we might not grow so weary in doing good. Sow in the Spirit, he says. This is how we can really do all the good we ought to do for all the world, not by our own strength, but in the Spirit. The Christian author Peter Van Brieman wrote that we are channels for God's love. We are channels for God's love, that doing good, loving others, is not necessarily a matter of willpower, of just willing ourselves to do it, but of Christ's life and power flowing through us. He said, Christian love is really God himself, or sharing in that love, which is God himself. We have only to open wide our hearts, and love will flow in and through us to others. We are simply channels for God's love, he says. Our love for others is a continuation of God's love for us, the Spirit of God flowing through us out into the world. There's a story about an old guy in the backwoods of Kentucky who could be counted on to show up whenever there was a revival meeting in town. And at the end of each service, when the invitation was given, he would come down the aisle and get down on his knees and raise up his arms and to heaven and cry out, fill me, Jesus, fill me. And then within a matter of week or two, he would slip back into his old ways of living. But then, of course, when the next round of revival meetings, there he would be again, once again, go to the meetings, walk down the aisle, and pray the same prayer over and over. One time he was down on his knees yelling at the ceiling, fill me, Jesus. When suddenly from the back of the church, some lady yelled, don't do it, Jesus, he leaks. And of course, the truth is that we all do, we all leak. A little bit, and being filled with the Spirit, being filled spiritually, is not a once and you're done kind of thing. Our spiritual energies they drain, and we become weary. We have to find ways of being refilled by the Spirit and re-energized for all the work that God is calling us to do, for the life God is calling us to live in this world. We have to be refilled. And this is not some inconsequential, some sideline message here. This call to be the kind of church, the kind of people who don't grow weary of doing good, who don't give up, but give love and shine light and do good, even when it's hard, even when it seems fruitless. This is exactly the church that the brokenness and the darkness of our world needs. It's what can reach the darkest corners of the world. This is who we as the church can be and should be, persistently, faithfully doing good to all people, not becoming weary and doing good, for there will be a harvest, Paul says. In a little manufacturing town in Scotland some years ago, there was a young lady who began teaching a Sunday school class of poverty-stricken boys. And the most challenging kid was a little boy named Bob. And he went on and he became a Christian. He even grew and he went on to be a missionary later. But first, he was this challenging boy in a young lady's Sunday school class. And after the first two or three Sundays in class, he left and he left the class and he didn't come back. And so the teacher, she had to go out and look for him and finally talked him back into coming back to Sunday school. But soon he quit again. And so the teacher went out to find him once again and bring him back, and she was getting a little weary. So she told the pastor, I'm completely discouraged about Bob. I guess, I don't know, we'll have to give up on him, she said. And the pastor said, oh, don't do that. I think there's still hope. Try him once more. And so she did and went and found him again. And this time he began to attend faithfully. And it wasn't long until he became a Christian and eventually even taught in that same Sunday school class that he had grown up in, that group of boys. And that boy grew in Christ, and he grew up to be this man named Robert Morrison, who later became, he was the first Protestant missionary in China. He translated the Bible into Chinese and brought the good news to millions there. First, he was just a ragged little boy who for a time seemed so unreachable. First, he was just a kid in some lady's Sunday school class. But all the difference was made because of one who didn't give up when they grew weary, but kept on giving and teaching and loving as best as they could. This is the kind of church that the world needs, so filled with the Spirit that we might love persistently, not giving up, doing good with every opportunity. It's what can make all the difference. I was reminded this week of a lesson that there is for us in music. I learned growing up singing in choir and playing in band, but I almost forgot. Sometimes in band or choir, in the music, it's written out in such a way that it requires the players or the singers to actually hold out a note longer than you can actually hold out a note. And so in those cases, you're taught to mindfully stagger when you take a breath. Stagger breathe, they call it. Stagger when you take a breath so that the sound, then it still appears like it's uninterrupted, like the note's still going. Everyone gets to breathe and the music stays strong and vibrant. In the midst of this life we're living, this world we're living in the middle of the busyness and our weariness and with all the things that we'd like to do to offer a little bit of light and hope, there's this lesson for us that we can take a breath, we can breathe, and that the rest of the choir will keep singing, the rest of the band will play. Breathe. Be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can take this breath and be filled and then rejoin the song so that others can breathe too. And together we can sustain a very long, beautiful song for a very long time. We don't have to do it all, but we have to join the song. We have to add our own voice to the music. Breathe. Be filled with the Spirit and then rejoin the song. Add your voice. Breathe. And add your gifts. We add in our words and our actions, what light, what good we have to give. Give it whenever we can. John Wesley said that we should do all the good we can by all the means we can, in all the ways we can, in all the places we can, at all the times we can, to all the people we can, as long as ever we can.